One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Connor Eats Pants, the beloved streamer who's recently found success hosting surreal interviews with notorious guests like the Tiger King.
All right, Joe, so how are you doing today, man?
It's prison.
That's a fair answer.
The Costco guys.
Do you think the science is there for a triple chunk chocolate cookie?
A triple chunk chocolate cookie!
And even disgraced former congressman George Santos, all while playing Fortnite.
Why do you need an AR-15?
I mean, aren't you using a make-believe AR-15 in your game?
Yeah, it's a video game.
I get that.
But who is the person behind the Chow profile picture, and did he really interview Elon Musk?
I think The Rock might be fucking with your brain.
What?
I spent a day with Connor to find out.
Hello, Connor Eats
Hello.
Pants. I'm just gonna imagine that's your real name.
It is, yeah, full name.
Did people comment on your name, like, what the fuck is that?
The name Connor Eat Pants. Off-putting as shit, but totally easy to remember.
Yeah, the worst part about it is, like, people ask, like, what's your favorite pants to eat? Or, like, why do you eat pants? And, like, the problem with it is, like, there's not a funny answer. There's no, like, oh, I eat denim. Like, that's not really that funny.
So that ruins my entire interview. That's really what this
is. Well,
it
came from iCarly, the name. Because, like, they tell the teacher, Mr. Howard, that he eats pants. And that was sort of, I was like, I'll just do that.
I think it works perfectly because now you have to message people to be on your new show, Fortnite Friday, under the username Connor Eats Pants.
They probably get a little overwhelmed, a little confused.
Yeah, you interview all these infamous guests like Costco guys.
Yeah.
You had Joe Exotic, the Tiger King, literally from prison. You had George Santos, former New York congressman. You had Adrian Dittman.
Yes.
Allegedly Elon Musk. Was it Elon Musk?
I'm pretty sure it was Elon. But
do you really think it was?
I do. There's more evidence that it was than it wasn't. However, it's just as kind of awesome if it wasn't because then there's a guy that really, really wants to be Elon Musk.
How do you book them? Do you have a team that reaches out to them? Do you do it yourself?
I could use a team. I do it entirely myself. Like, I haven't had a booking agent or anybody like that.
You just message them on Twitter?
Well, Elon has, like, ruined his app so much that, like, I kind of figured out how to game it.
What's the game?
Well, one, replying to conservative posts on social media, but then also, like, just replying in general and, like, acting dumb, I guess. I just happen to get likes, and then it'll generate attention for these people.
Yeah, do you think that they do any research and see the kind of stuff that you're doing to know the kind of interview they're getting into, or do they just go in completely blind?
His handling of COVID, yeah.
Dude, who could have handled it better?
My ass could have handled it better.
Okay, that's one hell of an ass you got there then.
People have been saying that.
I think I, like, operate under, like, so many layers of irony sometimes that, like, even I don't even know, but, like, they definitely don't know what I'm getting at.
yeah. Like, the way that you booked Adrian Dittman, or maybe Elon Musk,
right.
You just said, let's do Fortnite Friday together this week, Adrian. Call me relentless, but I've got a feeling this show would be the perfect political, neutral, fair, and balanced interview that you would love. Please, Adrian. Courage.
What really got him was the one where I replied, like, Adrian, if you don't come on my show, I will crash my vehicle into a highway median. Because that's the one that he sent me a message about and was like, hey, I'm down to do your show. Also, you probably shouldn't tweet these things. That's actually worked twice now, where that got the Hawk Tua girl to follow me as well.
That same tweet? Or you
that's
also threatened to crash your vehicle
into a highway median. I was like, Haley, if you don't follow me, I'll crash my vehicle into a highway median. And then she followed me back.
Oh, so threatening
I wouldn't say, like,
your life.
Self-harm. I mean, the vehicle.
Threatening
it's the
vehicle.
Vehicle. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. These people really care about
I would
the vehicle.
Be, like, 35 miles per hour, perhaps. Like, it wouldn't be, like, that bad.
That works.
It works. It works. I mean, again, like, it's social media. Like, the world's ending anyways. I might as well just fuck around on the app.
You are part of this beautiful disaster that we're in. giving a platform to these absolutely insane guests.
That's kind of how I look at it.
I mean, not all of them are insane. There's a huge range of the type of people you talk to. There's some people where you can be more vulnerable and genuine and, you know, more real, I guess.
I try to make that clear, too, because, like, it wasn't meant to be, like, I'm only getting controversial people. I just happen to kind of thrive in that environment where I'm messing with those people.
So it wasn't about getting the Joe Exotics or the
Like, that's awesome, and I love having that there, but I also had, like, McKenna Grace, for example, was a viewer of mine that came on the show that she does, like, she was in, like, Ghostbusters and stuff. And I had, like, other people coming up that are, like, more, like, normal celebrities, but, you know, the controversial people are also probably my favorite just because it's so ridiculous that they're
that they're playing
this.
Fortnite with you.
Yeah, and, like, debating politics with me over, like, a chug jug.
You know, here, let's just pull up this clip. Let's just pull up this clip.
Like, why do you need an AR-15?
I mean, aren't you using a make-believe AR-15 in your game?
Yeah, it's a video game.
Yeah, I understand. But again, I try to draw these parallels. Like, why do you need that in the video game?
Because it's a video game, George, and nobody's dying in a video game.
I get that. There's a dichotomy there. No.
If he says, I get that three times, it means he really gets it.
And this is a guy that was, like, making laws for our country.
Yeah. It's just so wild to see. I mean, first of all, you're in Fortnite talking about this
stuff. And I'm Will Smith with Yoda on his back.
Exactly. So you create these environments where you kind of completely diffuse that barrier that they might usually have. I feel like he wouldn't normally respond to question in that way, although he did respond by not responding.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he would because
he's used
George
to
is a bit of a character, but he's, you know.
So how do you get someone like George Santos to agree to do this thing, right? Because there's gonna be politics involved in some way, right?
Yeah.
You can't avoid that. And he knows that he knew he was gonna get grilled to a certain degree, right?
Yeah.
He had to know.
Yeah, for sure. With George specifically, I just, like, kept tweeting at him and, like, ratioing him, being like, come on the show, George, like, would love to have you. And he, I think, liked the attention that he got from that initially.
So you play into ego.
Yeah, but, like, so what I did is I emailed him and I was like, hey, this is the Connor Eats Pants team. We'd love to get George Santos on the show. Me not having a team, and it was just me.
Yeah,
and
then that is your team.
Got an email back from the George Santos team.
Explaining. It's probably also him.
So that was the thing. I immediately picked up on what he was doing. We were doing the same thing. Immediately figured this out.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, George has an appearance fee of like $6,000. And I was like, well, I can't do that. So I was like, I came up with it just on the spot, some bullshit, where I was like, oh, Connor's Twitch contract doesn't allow him to pay political figures.
Yeah, like, that's actually good. That's really good.
And so, and they were like, oh, well, I guess we can't do it. And I was like, yep, what a shame. But in my mind, I was like, this is not George Santos, this is George. And George would love nothing more than to be on a show like this that's getting him tons of likes on Twitter. So
you're
I just
like,
waited a weekend.
He'll be back.
Like Saturday night, I get a message that's like, so I talked to my team. Turns out I'm down to come on the show for free if, like, you come on my podcast I'm launching.
Mm.
I was like, George, deal. Sounds great, dude. Let's do it.
You did it?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't done his podcast yet. I guess he just launched it or something. But I'm down to do it if he wants me to do it.
Well, then here we got this. We got supposedly Elon Musk here as well. So let's see what he said.
What's wrong with calling a person abroad?
Like, it's a demeaning term for a woman.
How is it a demeaning term?
Because it's just like historically used as
a
way to like demean women.
Are you a woman?
I actually don't think you know a single woman or like have a platonic relationship, healthy relationship with a single woman.
What? Hang on a second. What is this thing?
Name.
Trying to change the subject?
Yeah.
Name three women.
Name three.
I'm not going to name anyone that I'm personally.
Name three women. Name three girls.
Why should I name a specific woman? I don't understand that.
Name.
I'm not into
three
people.
Women.
Why?
He couldn't do it. He
couldn't do it.
No.
He couldn't do it. With your perspective that it's Elon, I really truly believe it is now.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, either way, it's engaging and interesting. I think he's involved in it regardless because he's, like, interacted with that Adrian account and, like, said he is Adrian.
He said he is?
He tweeted, I am Adrian Dittman, like, after this stream.
It's just so weird.
Yeah, which is strange that he would, like, want to, like, claim ownership of that performance.
Yeah. He's like proud of this.
Yeah, so I don't know. I really don't want to look at it, but either way, it's funny.
So do you actually think he played with Elon Musk.
Judging by his Path of Exile 2 gameplay, I think, yeah, that might have actually been him, because he was pretty bad at Fortnite too.
In the moment where you're like, this is him, or in the moment where you're like, I don't actually know?
I didn't know at first, and then about an hour in, I was like, oh my God.
This is actually
This might world. Actually be him. Yeah.
That's crazy. Exactly. So the richest man in the world played Fortnite with you?
Yeah, that was kind of like why I wanted it to be him too, is it's like, yeah. This is such an indictment of like our entire society.
I think it's better just to believe it was him, even if it wasn't.
Yeah, it's a good message.
All right, we got one more that we'll look at here.
Oh yeah, this is my favorite.
I worked at Zoo from 6 in the morning until midnight every night. Some of those cages were 2 acres big.
My job is really hard. My job is hard. I work hard every day, bro. I get it. I understand. I like totally.
What did you see that you didn't like?
I just thought that the tigers could have been treated a little bit better, is all. And I just thought it was
like, what was wrong?
I don't know.
Tell me what was wrong. Food.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't remember. It's been a couple of years. You're right. I'm a shit interviewer.
Don't accuse me of abusing my tigers if you don't know what the hell was wrong.
I didn't go that far. I'm just saying that maybe, you know, there's a reason that the allegations were there and that they were presented that way. Like, what reason would Netflix have to present all that in that way if there wasn't a bit of a story there?
That was to pass the Big Cat Safety Act for Carol.
Or Carol, but okay, well, isn't her husband actually alive anyway? I forgot to even mention that.
No, you are so fucking far behind on information.
Wait, I thought he was alive.
Do some homework before you call me again.
I thought he was alive. Is he not alive? Am I wrong? Oh my God, he hung up on me.
Yeah, that was my favorite one. That was awesome.
Were you expecting to get that deep into it with him?
I had a plan loosely. Like, I knew I wanted to, like, so he was calling from jail. I knew I had 30 minutes. I knew I would, like, lead it into, like, if
so
I'm going to
he wasn't actually playing Fortnite.
No, but I did have I made an account on Fortnite called Santa Rosa Police Department.
Yeah.
Because that's the prison he's at.
Uh-huh.
And so I just had them play in the background, because normally I'm playing with the guests on the show, but obviously he's in jail. That wasn't logistically possible.
Mm-hmm.
But like the background footage needed to maintain some consistency with the show. So I just had a Santa Rosa Police Department account in the background.
So you weren't expecting to get into that with him? Like what were your...
I was expecting at the end to be more confrontational to see like, because I knew time was going to be up anyways.
How long did you last on the phone with him?
It was like 27, 28 minutes.
Okay, so you didn't get the full 30.
No, but he apparently, I found out later, he had to pay for that call.
He had to pay for it?
Yeah, because like he has to pay from jail to get the call.
Do you know how much that costs?
Apparently like $100.
He paid to be on your show. And
that's
hang
what
up
I heard.
You.
That's what someone told me later on.
Are you playing a character at all when you go into these interviews? Or are you just being completely authentic?
I like play to like, I think whoever I'm talking to, like if it's like a traditional celebrity that like I don't plan on getting political with, I suppose, then like I'm kind of just like a me, I suppose. But like even when not in that situation, it's kind of always me. A played up version perhaps because I'm on stream and it's entertainment. But even like the aloof, like kind of dry humor, like that's how I am a lot of the time in person too.
I feel like you almost have to find a way to be friendly with people, even if you don't agree with them. That's not necessarily a character though.
I hope that like what I do can, you know, show that I can kind of like be funny with people and not agree with them and still be amicable. Like there hasn't been a time besides like Tiger King, I guess, where like it ended in like a way where it was like really bad. You might get a pardon now.
Sure.
Would be crazy is if like 2 Fortnite Friday guests got pardons.
That would be crazy.
That would be wild.
If you set the precedent that anyone that gets on Fortnite Friday
you can get pardoned. Yeah, you could just get like a bunch of incarcerated people on Fortnite Friday.
Well, I feel like what you do is so interesting and working so well because you're getting these, whether they're controversial or not, they're just these infamous or strange figures that you would never expect to be in that environment, playing a game and casually hanging out. You kind of create this environment where it feels like you're just like on a Discord call with friends. Like it does not feel like it's live or being recorded, like it's actually an interview. You're kind of creating this environment of authenticity, and you really lead with wanting to be more authentic, and that's kind of what the internet does want that now, but that also feels right for you.
Yeah, I think for like streamers especially, like you kind of have to be somewhat authentic to like most people are live so often that like what you see is what you get for the most part, specifically like an interview format on like Twitch or live streaming in general. Like I kind of just equate it to like a game chat situation on like Halo or Call of Duty. And so I kind of took like that kind of interaction and made it like a talk show sort of. And that was kind of how I was looking at it.
How do you prepare for one of these interviews?
Oh man. A lot of times I have like a notes app like thing, I write like a bunch of questions during the actual show, and I can send this to you to show, but like I'll do like I'll make like a mood board of sorts where like making like my questions and stuff,
yeah,
just the way my brain works, I'll associate different things with different images.
Okay.
And so I'll make a mood board of those images and like put things near each other that might segue or whatever. And then
really?
Like while I'm like, yeah.
So you're
then,
interviewing based on an image mood board?
Kind of. So then like on like my right monitor, I'll have like this mood board or whatever.
That's
like
so smart.
If I run out of questions, or like,
I would have never thought to do that.
Yeah,
that's so smart.
Connect. I have it somewhere. I can pull it up.
I just have text bullet points, and my brain is just like doesn't work.
Yeah,
that
like
way.
I'll show you the George Santos one where I had like all these.
Was there just a picture of an AR?
Oh, there's like Joe Rogan.
Dude,
yeah,
that's so smart.
Here, I'll pull it up.
Yeah, I got to see it now.
So this was on the right monitor during the George Santos stream.
You just literally have pictures. You have Twin Towers. You have Hassan. You have Joe Rogan. You got Tomater.
Yeah, at one point I do like a Cars bit where I was like, who in Pixar's Cars would have voted for who?
I love that your brain thinks in images.
Yeah.
Is this like a snapshot into your brain?
I don't know if
organize?
It's, like I look at Mater and I remember the Cars bit that I'd written down.
I've only ever used text and I feel like my brain doesn't even work that way. I feel like images just work so much better.
Yeah, no, totally. It's better than like a bullet point list of like questions that would sound like robotic if I go about them. These are a lot
exactly, because when I'm looking at the text, because like right now I have kind of like a teleprompter behind you that I can look at and cheat.
Yeah.
I look at the words and my brain has to like process the words and then it wants to say the words back, but you just have the images.
Yeah,
it's like just,
you don't want to say it back verbatim.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
The images, it's almost like the way that your brain actually processes thoughts and memories though. God damn, that's smart.
Yeah. Sounds a lot more, like there's a lot more work in that put in than it really was. It was like 45 minutes before the interview. I was like, oh, it would be better to just make images. And then I've just done it since.
What do you think these guests think of you before, during, and after the stream?
I like to think it's the same throughout. Like,
yeah.
I just kind of am myself in interviews. Like, it's maybe a played up version for stream, but it is like I do have dry humor. I am more quiet in real life sometimes. But I can have carry a conversation, I suppose.
Maybe it's only Joe Exotic that got that is perspective.
Yeah, Joe had no clue what he was getting into, I guess, because he's in jail.
How did you even reach out to someone in jail?
Like, he had like a social media presence, and I guess his boyfriend like runs his like page online.
Oh, okay.
And, like, tweets for him and stuff.
And his boyfriend's like, hey, Joe, this guy, Connor Eats Pants, wants to
He's done an interview, because he'd done like some interviews with like, again, like mainly like conservative commentators.
Yeah.
He even mentions it in our interview. He's like, I'm used to like talking to like Dan Bongino and folks. Like, this is new.
I'm used to talking to people who just say yes to me.
Yeah, well, it's awesome that you mentioned that, though, because even during the Joe interview, there's a moment where, like, right when he's talking about Dan Bongino, where I'm like, oh, wow, really, like, the cream of the crop, Joe. And I can hear him laugh. Joe Exotic knows, like, who he's talking to, or, like, conservative, right-wing, like, people like that. And so the fact that I called that out, like, he was like, oh, like, this kid, like, knows.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what's going on here.
And then a second later, he told you needed to do more research, even though you did your research.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I didn't do much research. He was like, because, like, a lot of what he would bring up is, like, season two of Tiger King. And I'm like, Joe, nobody watched season two.
You're like,
two.
I watched season one, and that's all
I'm
I
like,
needed
Joe,
to watch.
Nobody watched season two.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't a thing that people did. And I don't think he understood that.
So I feel like there was a time period on the internet where the more negative that content was, the more like dramatic it was, the more it made people angry, the more it was rage bait, the more that the internet would reward it. And there's still a certain degree of that now, but I feel like the internet has kind of shifted a little bit more toward wanting that authenticity, wanting stuff that makes them actually feel good after they watch it.
Yeah.
And I feel like your Fortnite Friday videos kind of ride the line, because it does feel fun and carefree, but at the same time, you aren't afraid to get a little bit more serious and even potentially dark if it requires.
Yeah, I think that, like, just like the future of like celebrity and like influencer in general is the same thing. To be a celebrity now, you kind of have to be a bit more accessible than you were before, because we live in an age of like social media where people are going to have to follow you. You can't be the next big star unless you're on Instagram to an extent, unless you're doing something. Timothy Chalamet, for example, is very good with his like online presence and stuff and how he promotes things, whereas also being somewhat inaccessible but feels authentic. That's kind of a weird and tough balance to strike. And some people don't do it very well. And usually those are the kinds that you see like not fall off, but might have like a big like controversy or something that taints their image for a while or things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. Because there are people that will be too distant from the internet. And then it kind of feels like the newer generation can't really care or relate to them. And there are people that are so deep in it that they give all of themselves and they don't really know where the barrier is. And they're at the same time not being authentic while they're doing it. So then people—
like Elon.
People see the holes there and they're like, what are you doing here? And then it's so easy to push their buttons because they care so much about what people think.
Yeah.
And then it just becomes so clear that they're only doing it to raise their own sense of self-worth based on other people's opinions about them.
This is what people call like streamers insane. It's like, can you blame them when they're actually presenting themselves like that much all the time? Like, it's not very easy. So, but it does train you to like be hyper aware of yourself and what you say and think. And
at a certain point, you have to be really authentic with what you do, and the way that you speak has to perfectly reflect your true authentic self, because if you're not, it is going to destroy you at a certain point, right?
Yeah.
If you're doing that many hours of wearing a mask.
Yeah.
You know I love a good outfit.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Bit, but I hate shopping for one. Even when I can figure out what my size even is, the stores never seem to have what I need in stock. The crowds and the lines are always so frustrating. Who even has time to shop in person anyway these days? That's where Stitch Fix swoops in to save the day and my precious time. I just give my stylist my size, style, and budget preferences. I order the boxes when I want and how I want, no subscription required. Then Stitch Fix sends me personalized pieces and the fit always slays. I don't even know how my stylist does it. He just really gets me. It's like having my own personal stylist support agent in my back pocket at all times. And when it comes to getting dressed in the morning, I don't even know where to start. Going through my clothing rack can just feel so overwhelming. That's why I love having a Stitch Fix stylist. He really knows what works for me. I get pieces that make me look great, and it's a real confidence boost. No stores, no crowds, no stress, just personalized looks that you'll love. Stitch Fix makes it all so easy. Make style easy. Get started today at stitchfix.com/Padilla. That's stitchfix.com/PADILLA. Now let's get back to Connor Eats Pants. Well, you were telling me
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You also have dealt with your own set of mental health issues throughout your life as well, and that kind of contributed to a lot of this and your approach to a lot of what you do. You were even saying that some of the stuff that felt like weaknesses in your life, kind of, you started leaning into it and it's contributed to what you do as well.
Yeah, I think that like I was pretty not lucky, but I'm glad that like I went through like a lot of like struggling with like getting diagnosed with different things and knowing what that means for me at, like, a younger age.
How young were you?
Probably was in, like, high school. So it was, like, between, like, 15 to, like, 17, 18 was when I got, like, most of, like, my stuff, like, addressed, not addressed, but, like, diagnosed, I guess. And that helped me, like, I guess, identify with it earlier on rather than, like, not really know what's wrong with me later in life. So, like, I got diagnosed, like, as being, like, on the spectrum. I got, mainly it was, like, OCD symptoms, ADHD, you know, with that, anxiety and depression as well. And so I missed, like, so much of high school. It was, like, ridiculous. Like, I was,
just, like, not going to classes.
Just not going to class. Like, I had friends. I was relatively popular. I had no issue socially there. I just, like, didn't want to sit down in class and learn anything. I hated it. Mm-hmm. And so I would really hate doing, like, homework and, like, missing work and then, like, having it pile up and, like, fearing, like, talking to my teacher about having still not done the work that I probably should have done. It was just all things like that that piled on.
You're just in a constant state of anxiety.
Yeah. So then I was like, I'm just going
to... Relatable.
Yeah, I'm just going to stream video games.
Yeah.
It was kind of an outlet to get away from it and to, like, be myself, whereas I didn't really have that outlet normally. Because, I mean, I was in a... My whole life, I was in, like, a private Christian school. It was a lot of people that were very affluent and not really, like, with the same humor and kind of views or thoughts that, like, I had. So it was a somewhat weird environment. And, again, that was kind of what turned me to, like, YouTube and Twitch and stuff as well as, like, an outlet to more, like, express, like, my humor and stuff that wasn't really accepted around me.
Did you grow up Christian?
Yeah. In, like, a Christian household and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How did that affect you? Did it affect you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, it in, like, good and bad ways. Like, it was, I think that, like, a lot of the good stuff stuck with me. But, like, you know, again, like, being surrounded in, like, a school specifically with that environment where it was, like, popular kids are, like, fake, like, praying with each other and, like, acting very holier than that. It's a very strange setting for, like, a kid.
So did you feel like an outcast at that time?
I didn't feel like an outcast necessarily, but, like, I could identify problems with the environment that I'm in, and like I could see especially kids that were struggling arguably worse than me in their own place in the world and how they're acting. I could tell that there was an issue in the environment.
We have one of your earliest clips that you ever made when you were like 8 or 9.
Yeah.
I'm so glad the internet as we know it did not exist when I was 8 or 9.
Yeah, no, it's bad for a lot of kids.
Okay, let's see what
I'm
this
pretty lucky like. That my footprint isn't that bad.
I haven't seen this. I just see the smallest child. Is this you?
Yeah, that's me.
All right, let's go.
Hey, guys. It's Milkshake.
Milkshake?
And I'm going on the playground.
It's like a Fred-esque character. So I would just play, like, whatever pop song was on the radio at that point. And then set, like, a bunch of comedy sketches to it.
Who knew that kid would grow up to interview Elon Musk?
Right?
Yeah.
Literally. I mean, I kind of, even at the time, knew that that was sort of what I wanted to do, because, like, that was, like, slowly becoming, like, a job at the time. Like, I remember, like, watching, like, Call of Duty YouTubers, like, Woody's Gamer tagging people and being like, oh, they're, like, making, like, a life out of this now. So I was like, oh, maybe I could do something like that.
So are you kind of just, like, sitting around on YouTube watching all these gamers and you're like, that's going to be me?
I didn't necessarily think it would be me. I think that, like, when, like, more, like, content groups started forming, like, you guys and, like, Rooster Teeth, like, Achievement Hunter, stuff like that. Like, it was, it slowly shaped in my mind that maybe I could do something like that. Once I started streaming, it clicked more. I'm like, oh, okay, I could see this being my life.
Do you feel like you're living your dream job now?
Oh, 1,000%. Yeah. I mean, not only my dream job, my only job. Like, I'd be living off the government, probably.
Really? You think it'd be that?
I don't think level? I could work a normal job. The only normal job I ever had was spinning a sign outside Little Caesars.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I would, like, spin the sign.
Yeah.
And go, like, Little Caesars is that way.
Yeah.
And I did that for 3 weeks, and then I quit.
So you couldn't hang with school. You couldn't hang with sign spinning.
No.
You had to create your own job.
Pretty much, yeah.
You've been working on so many things in your internet career leading up to this. It's just kind of wild that this is where things have kind of led you.
Yeah, I mean, I joked about Fortnite Friday for years because, like, I did, like, I guess, like, the pilot or whatever. Like, the first time I ever played with, like, a celebrity on Fortnite voice chat was, like, Soulja Boy, like, during the pandemic.
Oh, shit.
And so I called it Fortnite Friday jokingly because Keemstar had made a, like, his own, like, tournament series called Fortnite Friday.
Right.
And then he doesn't like me. And so I just took the name.
Who does he like?
I don't know. But, like, anyways.
We'll leave that blank.
He had this name, Fortnite Friday, and then Fortnite was like, you can't, like, trademark that because it has Fortnite in it.
Yeah.
So then he changed it so he could make money off of it. So then I just took the name because I didn't care.
Did this whole thing start with the... You mentioned Soulja Boy, but was there also a James Charles?
James Charles was, that was Minecraft. So also a Keemstar event, funny enough.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, James, have you met my friend Jay Schlatt? He wants to be a sister.
Keemstar's Minecraft Monday years ago, where he did just paired people up to, like, do Minecraft duo, like, Hunger Games or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a terribly managed event, but it was kind of funny.
Do you feel like where you ended up kind of started in that era, that time?
Yeah, I mean, I got like a huge, like I had been streaming since like 2016, like most nights just for fun. And then it only became like successful, like making me money like early 2019 with like a big Minecraft boom. Just right place, right time. I wasn't like a Minecrafter. I just happened to be doing that at the time. And yeah, and then that led to Minecraft Monday with James Charles, for example, things like that.
What do you think that taught you that you were able to bring forward with you going into Fortnite?
Yeah, I guess looking back, that was kind of like the first time I had streamed with like a big figure. Like back then, I probably averaged like 200 like average viewers with my normal content on Twitch and got paired with James. And at the time, it was prior to like any controversy or anything, I think. So it was like a big deal. And yeah, I think pretty quickly I just kind of fell into like, oh, like I am just like talking with somebody on a game.
Mm-hmm.
And it led me to kind of always look at an interaction like that online in that way. It made me feel more comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of set the precedent of like someone that's not normally seen playing this game having a casual conversation.
Yeah, like I can't imagine doing anything like what I've done recently like in this kind of environment.
I mean, it's kind of wild that you, and I've also had Schlatt on here and a lot of other people who, I wouldn't say you got your start, but like that's where you kind of solidified your presence
to
a certain
degree. Like I've had like a bunch of different kind of circles that like I've been involved in and associated with, but like yeah, that was funny enough. Like there's a lot of people that have come through that, I think, like,
yeah,
that have been on here, funny enough, like
yeah,
me, Schlatt, Tina, Nikki, even more,
yeah, yeah. Tommy Dream himself.
Yeah.
Kind of
all the hitters.
Yeah, yeah, all the big hitters. You used to live with Schlatt?
Yeah, yeah, that's my best friend.
I had no idea you lived with him.
We both got our big like boom that early 2019. We both like exploded around the same time and became like associated with each other, do like Minecraft stuff, like bits we would do together. And then we moved to Austin together in 2021.
Do you have any crazy stories from that time?
He comes home from Best Buy one day and is like, look at what I bought. And then it was this TV that can rotate in the living room. And so he laid down on the couch and showcased this. Takes 30 seconds for the TV to turn to a vertical format. And then he would just airplay his phone and scroll TikTok. But he didn't have to look at his phone anymore. He could look at the TV.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, you're getting too rich. Like, you're making too much money.
This is the sign of getting
too
rich.
This is what you did on Thursday. You went to Best Buy and bought this TV so that you could scroll TikTok.
You mentioned he's getting too rich.
Yeah.
Schlatt, when he was on the show, he mentioned that he really prioritizes that monetary... he maximizes profit.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? He's like, give me the bag. Right?
Yeah.
And you've mentioned that you don't try too hard to monetize yourself.
Right.
Why do you have this approach versus someone like Schlatt?
I think there's a variety of reasons. One is like, it's partly an excuse for like not optimizing my content output.
And like, right. You're like, I'm not even trying. So.
Yeah. I mean, like Fortnite Friday, for example, I haven't even like uploaded as like videos yet. Like they're all like live stream. Yeah. I need to like organize them as like actual uploads and stuff. Part of that is like the organization of it I get very like in my head about, but it also is like I think there is a level of like authenticity that people appreciate, that like I'm not actively trying to like monetize my stuff. I don't take very many sponsors. I don't do many like merch things like that, which maybe I should, but I agree.
I feel like people would kind of be weary of what you're getting at if it was all about the monetary
game. Yeah, and I don't know. I think the more I show that like I do this because I like making myself laugh, which is why I do it first and foremost, is important to me and reflects in my audience and what I do.
I've seen your profile picture online more than your face.
Good. What I like.
You like being more faceless?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I'm fine with my face being out there now, more so than I was before. But, yeah, I prefer, like, not having my face be, like, the brand.
It probably helps you to not have your face on camera when you're doing these interviews with people.
Yeah, right? And it helps just for, like, my own, like, personal life to, like, I'm with like people I'm close with. Like, I don't know. There's a very weird way of like perceiving yourself when you're a creator online, I guess. And
yeah,
your sense of self can be kind of tarnished.
There have been many long periods of my life where I'd almost see myself in the third person because I'd be like trying to guess what how people perceive me.
Yeah.
Because my face and me, I was so much of the brand.
And even just as like a viewer, like I think that like that's something I could see with like the people I was watching, like even growing up and such, and having like gone through like my formative years of like early adulthood being online as a creator, how I'm going to go about my brand and how I see myself and what boundaries I need to set. It, like, if I'm going to do this the rest of my life, ideally, how am I going to do that healthily?
And the healthy way is to use Sonic.
Exactly.
Chow?
Use the chow, yeah.
Chow?
That's the chow, yeah.
Yeah. What's with the chow?
I just think I love Sonic Adventure 2 is like one of my favorite games.
Yeah.
And the chow gardens and that, where you raise the little creatures.
I only played Sonic Adventures 1 with a chow garden.
Yeah. So
where it was like on the VMU, well. The little Dreamcast thing.
It was in 1 as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just like the little character, and he, I always like the little funny guy characters in games. And so I just kind of made that my profile picture at one point. At one point I had like a pair of pants that was like the profile picture and such.
College pants, yep.
But I liked the chow. And Sega's chill with it, so.
People have referred to your show kind of as, like, the new Hot Ones.
Yes, people have been saying that. Yeah, it's true.
Hot Ones is already authentic, and it finds a way to pull people in because they're forced to speak through this discomfort. But I really do feel like your show goes even deeper in disarming people, but then it also has this extra layer of this viral appeal to it as well.
Yeah, I try to, it's live, I think. Helps make it a bit more like viral in that sense.
Do you feel that extra pressure because it's live? Or do you think that the live aspect helps you?
Oh, I think it helps me.
Because I feel like it could go either way, you know?
Yeah, it could go either way.
I used to be terrified of live because I was like, it's so much pressure. But also when it's live, you can't redo it and you have to just lean into
it. Well, what made me like Twitch even initially when I was streaming the 5 to 10 people was the instant feedback of like a chat. Whereas like when I would upload on YouTube, I'd wait for comments and be thrilled when I got like a single comment.
Oh,
whereas with Twitch, I was instantly bouncing off of a chat, almost like doing crowd work.
Yeah.
And then it also played into like improv skills a bit, which I did improv in middle school. Some of that kind of carried over. And so Twitch and live format just kind of made sense to me.
Yeah, and I feel like you don't even have the opportunity to overthink it and think like, what are people going to think? What are they going to say?
Yeah.
Because they already said and thought the things that they were going to say.
Yeah.
It's like instantly.
Yeah, and I think that like my biggest anxiety of like I dealt with growing up was like, being like perceived and how I'm being perceived by other people, not in like a self-conscious way, but more in like, are people actually picking up like what I'm trying to present to the world and like how I'm like my intentions are right and people see that. I think that like being live and in streamer space and online on the internet for the past couple of years made that challenging because I felt always constantly perceived. And at a certain point, it just blended with myself. For now, I'm a lot more comfortable being on camera and doing things like this because it's now it's just part of me.
When you went into doing this, were you like, this is going to hit? Or were you just kind of doing what just felt right?
I mean, I had like joked about it with my chat for years. Like, oh, whenever a celebrity or something would come in my vicinity, I'd be like, oh, like Fortnite Friday with so-and-so coming up. And then I'd actually just started doing it last year with like Jacob Sartorius, I think was like how I launched it.
Yeah.
Or relaunched it in a sense.
What was your goal going into that if that was your relaunch? Like, were you like, oh, someone that people that used to be in the spotlight that people don't really necessarily know what's going on?
Yeah, I like that idea of like people that are like used to be in the spotlight and suddenly they're showcased on my stream, or like someone that people kind of forgot about. Like I wanted to get like the Damn Daniel guys on there for a minute.
Yeah.
And like just like people that like you hear about and you're like, oh my God, I forgot about
that. Can you please get the Charlie Bit My Finger kids?
Yeah. Okay. So actually That kid has been down for a minute.
For real?
Yes. That was like during the pandemic, right after the Soulja Boy one.
Dude, because I'm like, they're like 20 something now, right?
One of them is still like a kid, I think. I think
really?
Charlie, the kid, is like probably in high school now.
Okay.
But like the kid whose finger got bit, I think, is probably an adult.
I don't think they've like shown their faces on the internet in
the dad like
decades.
Sold them as like an NFT or something.
That video? Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have any goal with where you want to take this, or are you really just writing it out? Like, is there a crazy idea that you have? Like, I mean, if you already got Elon Musk on though, like what's next?
Yeah,
right?
I think that like, yeah, that's like a weird like peak. I think that I very much like to maintain like what I do without like much absurd fanfare and like budget, I guess. Like I think that like part of the appeal is that I am just like a streamer that for the most part is you can catch me playing like a random game on like Tuesday, and then, you know, on Friday maybe I have like the president on playing Fortnite or something. Like,
I like
the idea of that.
Do you think that'll happen?
I think it'd be sick. I think it'd be cool. I tried really hard over October to like get like Kamala Harris to do it.
I feel like you're one of the only people that could get someone like the president on, and everyone would be like, I gotta watch this shit.
Yeah.
Because I feel like other sources, people are like, oh, it's just gonna be a bunch of fluff. Oh, it's, you know, it's gonna be like politically leaning. But you found a way to stay so authentic to yourself in the way that you interact with these guests, where you're not afraid to just like grill them out of nowhere.
I'm like what people think Lex Fridman is.
yeah. But you're real.
Yeah, like I'm actually just asking questions.
yeah. Do you think that explaining the Fortnite Friday bit ruins the bit? Like, did this interview now just completely ruin you?
Well, no, because I think like, you know, it's not a bit inherently. Like, if it is like an absurd figure, then like, yeah, like the joke is that they're playing Fortnite. But like, I can get anybody to do it and it's just an interview. It's a late night talk show.
Yeah.
I think that like my dry humor shtick can potentially be ruined for people that I need to like play into that with, depending on, you know, whether they would see something from me outside of context of me asking to come on the show. But even when they know, it's not a huge deal. Like,
I feel like half of the audience totally gets it, gets you, understands what you're doing.
Yeah, because I mean, at the end of the day, I am just me. Like, there's not really a bit to it. Like, I'm just kind of talking to people.
And then the other half just does not know what the fuck is going on. But I feel like it'll always be like that because you are having these wild guests that bring a completely new audience in every time who don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and like a lot of times when they're researching me, like if they're like, okay, I'm going on Friday, what is this guest stream during the week? They see me playing Jimmy Neutron on GameCube on Monday, Marvel Rivals or Overwatch on Tuesday, and they're like, oh, this guy's just a gamer. Like,
it's very diffusing. Do you think there are going to be guests in the future that you want to get on that you don't agree with that might catch on to the fact that you're not afraid to kind of put them on the spot? And
yeah, that kind of already happened with like the Zachary Levi one, where like I knew that like he had like said some silly things on social media that I wanted to talk about. He kind of is the one that brought those topics up and kind of caught me off guard. I was like, oh, like we're already getting into this.
He tried to beat you to the punch
20 minutes in. Still ended up being funny. But like, again, like I'm not targeting people that I think would be like funny to disagree with on Fortnite. If they happen to be who would come on the show, then absolutely. But
well, we got to make sure you get gotta make sure you get the president on before.
Gotta get the president. I'd like to get Joe Rogan.
Who else? Do you have a dream list?
Oh, I have a list of like dream guests for sure.
Like dream?
Like dream, yeah. I mean, do you want me to name some on the list?
Yeah.
I want Miranda Cosgrove.
Yeah.
I feel like
Miranda, I know you're watching.
Yeah. I think iCarly needs more credit for like actually establishing like the streamer kind of culture.
That's
now.
True. That's
like,
true.
I think that like it's actually pretty crazy how much that show like got before it was a thing.
And your name is from there, so you have
exactly.
To.
Rudy Giuliani probably watches
Rudy,
the show.
Rudy watches his show.
He would be great.
He's sitting there just wiping his dye off of his face. Yeah.
No, I didn't say that, Rudy. That was
Anthony. yeah, we're cutting that out, Rudy. Don't worry.
That was Anthony that said that. I'd have to consult my life. Soulja Boy being back on would be a dream. There's so many. I mean, there's just
Mark Zuckerberg.
Mark Zuckerberg. New Zuck, the one that's like cooler.
New Zuck.
I think the divorce, Zuck. Yeah, and he has like a new haircut and goes on Joe Rogan. He's cool now. He's just one of the guys.
He's just the Zuck.
Yeah. He's chill.
He's the Zuck and he doesn't give a fuck.
Exactly. See, he should probably use that.
I'm sure he has. I'm sure behind closed doors.
Like they've workshopped it.
Yeah.
This like PR team that changed his look.
I can't tell if he's really just like, I'm cool now. Or if his PR team's like,
would be awesome is if that's what it is if he was like everybody around him is shocked. Like,
yeah.
His PR team too is like, what happened? He's like, I'm a cool guy now.
He just found himself. Yeah. He's like, I'm 20 again.
It's the ayahuasca that makes you cool.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Yeah. You've been calling out Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller would be awesome. I love Severance. That would be so cool to see. That's what I'm trying to get away from, like, the angle of, like, oh, I'm, like, always getting these, like, people that, like, I'm jumping with, like, a political interview because I don't want that to be like what people think about when they think of like my Fortnite Friday.
You want to kind of have the full range.
I want the full range of it because I would love to like get people I super admire like Ben Stiller.
Is there anyone you want to say a message to directly that we could clip for you and have the clip go viral for you to get them on the show?
All right. Well, if you're Miranda Cosgrove or Timothy Chalamet or Rudy Giuliani and you want to play Fortnite with me and talk to me about anything, please come on my show. It's on Fridays. I'm Connor Eats Pants. I was on the Dream S&P.
Rudy's like, bro, I'm in.
Oh, my kids love that.
He's like, oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah. Mario Kart 8, when that came out on the Wii U 10 years ago, on Reddit, people were like, oh, Sears is selling it early. So we had called to make sure that they had the game.
Yeah.
And this lady, like, she picked up the phone and was like, oh, yeah, we got the game. And we're like, well, can we buy it? And she's like, yeah, you asked for, like, let's say Leslie when you get here. Ask for Leslie and Leslie will hook you up. And we're like, all right, Leslie, cool. We get there and we show up and we get to the electronics section probably about 30 minutes after we said we would. Guy comes up. He's like, what are you guys waiting for? And we're like, hey, we're here to get Mario Kart. And he goes like, did Leslie tell you that? And we're like, yeah, is Leslie here? He's like, he goes, I know what Leslie's been doing. You're not getting that game. We were like, oh, I'm sorry. And this guy was like pissed that like Leslie was selling these Mario Kart copies out of Sears. I was like, oh my God.
Was she pocketing the money? I mean,
think
what?
So. I think she might have been or doing something in that regard. I was kind of bummed because we really wanted to play it early.
Dude, that's the most, I love those times.
But in hindsight, it wasn't that big of a deal because they didn't end up making a new Mario Kart for 13 years anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bummer.
Going to be plenty of time to play Mario Kart 8.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.